Welcome to Finding Your Motivation with yours truly, Steve Stazak. My company is Leader Speakers. We sponsor the show. Leader Speakers is a public speaking training company where we help people become less nervous to get on the stage. And we help, and not only that, but we help people become more confident and poised speakers, whether it's presentation skills training or sales training, which we do also. So we instill the confidence in people, help them be more proficient at what they do. And my guest today is, this is a great guest. I've got a really interesting guest today. His name is Jonathan Pritchard, and he's also in sort of the same area, but he does something a little different. He is a mentalist, and I'm going to let him tell a little bit more about what he does, what his shtick is.
You got it. Well, thanks for having me. And yeah, the quick version of my background is I grew up doing magic tricks. The mind reading tricks always seemed to be more impressive, so that's what I focused on. Right. And when I graduated from college, my first job was working at a magic shop at Universal Studios in Orlando. That's how I did over 19,000 performances in a little over 2 years. And that gave me my public speaking and performing chops for sure. And that nice. went across the world with my theater mind reading show, and then transitioned into the business consulting world from there.
Well, great. So give us an example of, tell us a little bit about your mind reading.
It's using applied psychology to make it look like I can do impossible things like predicting the future, telling people what street they grew up on. They're very convincing demonstrations, but I'm not actually psychic. I'm just using applied psychology, showmanship, and a whole lot of gumption to pull it off. So it's knowing how people think to help them think the wrong things that you later show to be wrong. And then that's what the magical effect is. And I think of it like being a painter, you know, back in when perspective first was discovered and artists were painting these very convincing depictions of three-dimensional space on a flat two-dimensional plane. You have to study reality before you can perfectly misrepresent it. And that's what magicians do,
right?
Is we understand people and how they think before you can create a very convincing illusion. And if somebody goes to that length to understand communication skills, then they could put those skills to use to be even more effective when they're trying to tell the truth and help people understand how my product helps your business be more successful, how, right, whatever it is that you're doing to make the world a better place,
right,
being a better communicator will help you do that.
So give us an example, or give me an example of how you would use it in business.
A lot of it is,
or you're using it in business to do your business.
Yeah. So in sales, you know what the end should be. The effect of the conversation should be they're signing up with you. And there are all sorts of different paths that the conversation could take that end up with them signing up with your company.
Right.
So that's the effect you want to have. So then you reverse engineer, what do I need to do? What do I need to say? How do I need to say it in order to create a script and a flexible approach that can help you guide the conversation to that end in a way that makes your prospective client feel like it was their decision to hire you, when really it was you've created the environment for them to make that logical decision that they still have ownership of.
So give us an example of a, you don't have to mention names, but a product or what have you, or a sales situation.
Yeah, it's anything. I'm currently working with a marketing company that is one of the top in the digital marketing space. And they've asked me to help architect everything that happens from the time somebody calls in until they've signed up and are working with the delivery team. What do we say? How do we say it? Do we try to pitch our services on the first call? Do we need a second call? How many touch points do we need? All of those elements of the conversation, if you can plan it out, now you're just working the plan and you're going to close more work.
So this is a reverse sequence type thing.
Right, right. Because
so give us a hard example.
Well, there was one company I worked with that had been sending emails to their email list of 50,000 addresses for something like 8 months, mm-hmm. and not a single response to it. And they were asking me, how do we do this? And I asked them, what are the 4 or 5 industries that you do the best work in? They say travel, health and wellness, whatever they were. Okay, yeah. Cool. Have everybody on your team write 3 articles about each of those things and how you guys help in that industry. And then the extra layer was, we want to migrate off this email platform to another email platform. Okay, cool. So what happened is we wrote a 3 to 5 email sequence for each of those 4 industries, then sent out an email saying, we've built a report for these 4, 5 most popular industries that we help with. Mm-hmm. Let us know which one you want to know about. Click the option and we'll send you the report now. Well, that click filtered them into each of those topics and signed them up for the other email platform. Mm-hmm. So now, instead of just having this one bucket of 50,000 addresses, they're now neatly sorted and into the right pipeline. And then within a week and a half, they had signed 2 or 3 clients worth $150,000 each.
Wow!
In a week and a half, when they had been beating their head against that wall for months. So it's understanding, okay, what problem are we trying to solve? What's the intended outcome we want? What tools do we have at our disposal to make it happen? And then work backwards from there. So it was more targeted messaging, more relevant messaging, and more valuable because it was specific to the concerns of that person. Once they could communicate that to their prospective client, their client goes, oh yeah, now I understand how you're going to help me. I want in.
So what were they doing before? Just sending out a general state?
Just, whatever they could think of to send this week. And here's what we're doing. Hire us, please. You know, like,
do you present a solution for them?
Right. Right.
Okay. What's so magical about that? They didn't know.
What's so magical is that to the magician, magic is not a mystery. It's just another day at the office. So it's only amazing because you don't know the secret. And one of the biggest secrets in magic is that most of the magic secrets are really simple. They're simple. They may not be easy.
Right.
They might take a year or two of practice before you could even kind of get it working, but it's not complicated for the most part. So that's the biggest thing, is helping people understand you've got to say the right thing. You've got to do the right thing in the right order at the right time in the right way. And if any one of those is missing, the magical effect doesn't happen. And I learned that when I was a kid, when I was practicing on my parents, who were absolute saints.
Right.
I'd be like, hey, Dad, pick a card. He was like, I've seen those one. I'm like, no, this is totally different, I promise. And then I would do the trick and Dad would be very kind. He goes, that was good.
Right.
But I saw this. I saw you do that. And I did the thing, I said the thing, but I didn't do it the right way. And that's the extra layer, is you don't have to just follow the recipe to the letter. You've got to put it into practice the right way. And that's the elusive element that a lot of people miss, even when they read a book or watch a course or something, and then when they try it, they're not aware of how not good they are at it, which is why the work that you're doing is so important, of providing that real-time feedback and coaching so that people can improve quickly.
So do you do training too?
I do. What? And yeah, sales, negotiation, presentation skills, influence with integrity.
Yeah. Influence with integrity. That's interesting.
It's the secret sauce that makes all those other ones work.
Mm. So the presentation skills, what's your secret sauce there? What is the problem? What's the solution? Let's put it that way.
The problem is people think they're a good communicator because they talk a lot.
Right.
And they're not.
That's right.
And it's really, really difficult to be a good communicator. And I got my start in late junior high, early high school, when I joined the debate team. And I was a member of the National Forensics League. Yes, I was in the NFL back when I was a teenager. And I maxed out the number of points I could get for Lincoln Douglas debate. So I loved competitive debate. I wasn't great at it, but I really enjoyed it. Right. And that was kind of my master's class in learning how to stop, understand where my audience is, meet them where they are, then move them along in the process of coming to the right conclusion. Whereas most presenters assume their audience is on board already.
Right.
And then they take off at 80 miles an hour and then wonder why everybody's bored.
Yeah.
So that skipping that first step of getting folks on board with you is absolutely the death kiss of being a good presenter.
So are you talking about, because what I teach in my class is, number one, you got to know your audience, like you said. The beginning of your presentation, the title of your presentation should be a solution to why they came in the first place.
Why should I care about this?
Right. And is that what you're talking
about? What am I
going
to get?
Is that what you're talking about? Knowing the audience and hitting their hot buttons?
Yeah, for sure. Because say you're a sleight of hand magician and that's your main skill to make your magic work. If you're palming a card and you're not aware of where your audience is and their sight lines, well, then you're going to be showing them the stuff they shouldn't be seeing. They're going to peek behind the curtain.
Right.
And that's because you're unaware of your audience. So you've always got to be aware of your positioning, their positioning in relationship to you, and use that to make sure that you're presenting yourself and the message in the right way. So you're absolutely right. Understanding your audience, why they're showing up in the room. Is it because the boss has told them they're going to be fired if they don't show up? Mm-hmm. Or did they buy tickets themselves because they want to get better at selling? Well, audience two is going to be much more bought in to what you're presenting than audience one. You're going to need a little more work in order to get their good graces.
Right.
So yeah. Know thy audience is commandment number one.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually integrated that into my public speaking tips.
Yeah. Yeah.
Knowing your audience. It's huge. People just come up and they spit out and
Here are the words I wrote 10 years ago, and I'm going to hit play on my script, and then I'm just going to regurgitate the same thing that I've said for 10 years. It's like, oh.
And hope it sticks. Well, there's another thing that people don't do, and that is they finish a presentation, but they don't know how to close the audience out. By restating the purpose, or actually restating the points you went over, give a brief synopsis of what you talked about. Like Zig Ziglar said, tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them what you told them.
Yeah.
And then tie it right back into the solution.
There's kind of a seven-step persuasion formula I like to to work with as a structure to help people who aren't used to giving persuasive presentations. And it's kind of getting on board with the audience,
yeah,
helping them understand what the real root issues are and why, and then addressing the real solution and why it's the solution, which basically should go point by point over addressing the symptoms that your audience thinks are the problems. But what they think are the problems are always the result of the root issues. So you go point by point and just go down the checklist to address every concern or reason your audience would have to not believe what it is that you're saying. So you've just gone through, and then the last step is, and here's what's to do next about it. Because you've basically just brought your audience to no man's land. They came in thinking they knew everything and, well, I'm not going to learn anything here.
Right.
And then you bring them to where you live, which is hopefully right. at a higher level of understanding and ability. Right. And now they're not on their footing. They have no clue where they are, what to do. So then handhold them and say, and here's what's to do next, to give them that, oh, now I know what I need to do after this presentation. Okay, that's great. Whether it's go to my email, sign up for my email list, come meet me down at the front where I'll answer any questions. Having that very clear, and now we're done, here's where we are, is super important. The outro is just as important as the intro.
Right.
Because people remember how it starts, how it ends. And in the middle, they're kind of like, I enjoyed it. He made me feel good. At least he wasn't boring.
Right.
But the ending, how you stick the landing is a big piece of that.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of people just end their presentations with going into Q&A.
Now takes questions.
Yeah. Interesting. So what kind of companies have you worked with? Or name some companies, some big companies you've worked with.
Let's see. BP, State Farm, United Airlines.
Wow.
Discovery.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
The
biggest media company in the world kind of thing. Yeah.
So I had a friend that worked there. I had a couple friends that worked there. Yeah. In DC.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do for them?
They brought me in for an employee engagement session. So they brought me in as part of their, we care about you and this is how we'll show you. Please meet Jonathan.
Okay.
And I think of what I do on a spectrum between entertainment and education, empowerment, that kind of thing. And sometimes companies want me to come in and deliver fun or a message. So that was more of an interactive icebreaker, yeah. Get to know each other, fun kind of mind reading over Zoom kind of a thing.
Oh, you did it over Zoom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when all that happened, I had to pivot real quick on figuring out how to do what I do, staring into the lens instead of being in front of a real life crowd.
You know, I've got that issue too. I'm actually a lot better in front of the crowd than I am just staring into a lens.
Right.
I have to see people. But you can see people on Zoom, though.
You can, but weirdly, the communication is all about eye contact. That lens is the window to your soul. But if I want to feel comfortable looking at you, I'm now looking at my monitor where you are, but now I'm disconnected from you. And now I feel better at your expense because now you're experiencing me not connecting.
Right.
So then I've learned to just get glued to the lens, and that is the portal to my audience. So I kind of learned that going out for national TV and being comfortable in front of very large cameras instead of wishing, I wish I were just doing this for one person, do it for the camera and you could reach millions.
Well, right. Right. I'm much better amongst people, though. When I have warm bodies in front of me, it just animates me more.
Yeah, I definitely prefer in person. Absolutely. I did enjoy being able to do five or six presentations in a single day, one in New York, another in Boston, right, California, and do it without wearing shoes. That was fantastic. Like, I didn't have to get on a plane. Oh, right. This is the life.
This is true. This is true.
So yeah, those bookings during that section of the last couple of years, they didn't pay as well, but also the expenses weren't nearly as high either. So
that's true.
It was difficult if you were more used to feeding off the audience. It's really a big change when you have zero feedback and it's just you in your office performing for the camera, hoping that people are liking it.
Gotcha. So have you ever heard of, do you know many of these motivational coaches? Like, well, I'm sure you know who Tony Robbins is.
Yeah, I am familiar with Tony Robbins. A big part of why I got into the corporate speaking world is not like Tony knows his stuff. I am not aiming at him. It's more of the business gurus who claim to understand business psychology, and then they're citing psychology research from the 70s that can't be replicated as the authority of what they're saying. Uh-huh. And it's always stories about people that don't exist, that went through events that never happened. And I was like, wait a minute, I can demonstrate these ideas in an interactive way that involves the audience, because right, that's what I've been doing my whole life anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm going to eat their lunch. So that was a big reason why I got into the speaking world, is I understand this better than most of the people who are perceived as the experts in business psychology. So I'm going to bring 10,000 years worth of background knowledge that magicians have about right, how people tick, right, and then apply it to this new world of business that most magicians just really aren't interested in engaging with.
Have you ever heard of J.T. Fox?
Mm-mm, no.
Okay. Just curious. I've been going to his conferences. He's one of the number one business coaches. He said he is the number one closer in the country.
Nice.
Well, we're about getting down to the bottom of the hour. We got a few minutes left here. So what makes you, so you're regarded as a thought leader. How is that? Tell us about
that. That's a tongue-in-cheek challenge that I have to anybody who claims to be a thought leader. Well, I'm the world's greatest thought leader, and I will challenge you to an in-person demonstration in front of an audience of 3,000 people on who can lead thoughts more effectively. And then I'll just do my mind reading show and blow the other guy out of the water.
Okay, that's interesting. Do you have an example?
Yeah. Well, it's again, telling people what street they grew up on, telling them their star sign, getting them up on stage and having a great time with it, because most people are terrified of being on stage, or they're terrified that a comedian's going to make fun of me, or, oh, he's a magician, he's going to chop me in half. And helping reduce those fears and building enough trust with the audience in general so that a specific person feels comfortable and they know in their bones that I'm not going to make fun of them. I'm not going to belittle them.
Right.
I'm going to treat them like a rock star and make them the star of the show requires really deep thought leadership, because you've got to know exactly what that person's thinking to let those fears not take hold,
right,
and then walk them through an experience that doesn't trigger those fears. It's not easy. It's really not easy.
Wow. Interesting. Well, Jonathan, I really appreciate you being on the show. This is a great show. It went too fast, way too fast. Probably one of the more interesting guests, one of the most interesting guests I've had on the show, and I've had a few.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I do this weekly, and I really do appreciate you being on the show. It'd be nice to have you on again sometime too.
Yeah, you bet. Don't you threaten me with a good time. I'll take you up on it.
I love it. I love it. Jonathan, and you're up in North Carolina, right?
I am. I'm nestled up in the mountains of North Carolina. I've lived all over the country, toured for 20 years, and always missed the mountains. So about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I figured, you know what? Chicago, I'm done with you. I'm going back home to the mountains.
Well, I'm down here in Charlotte,
Oh,
right down the road.
outstanding.
Yeah,
I'll
we need
wave
to
your
keep in
direction. There we
touch.
go.
We need to keep in touch.
Yeah, for
Okay,
sure.
well, in any case, Jonathan, it was great having you on the show. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm sure the audience is going to too. There's going to be no question in my mind. With that, I am going to, we are going to, that is it for the show. And once again, this is brought to you by Leader Speakers, public speaking training, and public speaking training and sales training specialists. There's something wrong with that. In any case, you know what I do. And our website is leaderspeakers.com. We do free consultations. Thanks again, Jonathan. And we'll look forward to maybe another visit.
Sounds good.